Lent is not for the faint of heart. This faith that we live is full of questions, and the one we follow is not some superhero who will swoop down and make everything better with the wave of a wand or pull rabbits out of hats. Questions remain. Why do the innocent suffer? Why? Fresh from his baptism, the Gospels say, where he heard a voice that said, "You are my beloved child." Right after that, he goes to the wilderness to wrestle with what his life will be, what kind of beloved child he will be. He wrestles hard. Will he use his power to dazzle the crowds? He goes on fast. Other cultures would call it a vision quest. Sometimes they fast from sunup to sundown. Luke doesn't elaborate, but he goes on an inner quest to find his true self, his call. And today, the text asks us to do the same, to go deep. Because if what we do here isn't real, if we avoid the hard questions, what's the good of this? It asks us to wrestle with the same questions he did. The tempter hits him in all his most vulnerable places. He's hungry. He's hungry. You can think and do strange things when you're really hungry. The tempter hits him at his identity as a child of God. Are you really? Are you really? Does God really love you? Maybe you just made that. So let's listen, because the questions are hard and they linger. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted. He ate nothing at all, and when the days were over, he was famished. The tempter said, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus said, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the tempter led him, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and said, "To you I'll give their glory, and all this authority, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I please. If you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is also written, worship the Lord your God and serve only God." And then the tempter took him to Jerusalem, put him on the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, God will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the tempter had finished every test, he departed from him, biding his time. So there he is, he's alone and hungry, fighting off the self-doubt and the terrible promise of his own power to choose. And the heat beats down. Somewhere, the pitiful cry of a small rodent being carried away in the talons of a winged predator. Everything needs to eat. And for every kind of food, there is a breaking. Something flutters. something else large and brooding bides its time. There is no bread. I want to tell you about two conversations I had in the same week. One time I was on a course. I've never forgotten this. I'm pretty sure I've told you one before. First conversation, a woman taking the course with me, and she has a son who was at that time 17 and a self-declared atheist. It's all a bunch of trash, he tells his mother, that God stuff, it's lame. And a big part of that, of course, is that his mom is a minister. She knows, with at least part of her heart, that this is a natural and even a good thing for his personal development. But still. And then just before Christmas, the previous year, he goes to a party. He drinks too much, wraps his car around a tree, and his passenger walk away with only scratches. He goes to his mother and says, "Now I know that there's a God." Second conversation, same day. Phone call from where I was living, it was in New Brunswick at that time. It's my friend Kathleen. I had walked with her through some of the aftermath of her youngest son's death. I'll tell you how he died. At 19, he left New Brunswick and went to Ontario to work for a lot. And he got a room in the home of a friend of the family, because that would be safer. And one evening, as he slept after his shift, an acquaintance of the family, also a young man, came to the house and picked up a baseball bat and hit him repeatedly on the head. And when asked why, in court and since, he says that he wanted to know what it felt like to kill someone. That was several years ago now. And in the past week, the time I'm talking about, she was calling me to tell me that one of her remaining sons has terminal cancer. One mother's son, brought to faith by a car accident in which he ought to have died and did not, and another mother's son killed as he slept in his bed. And my question is, where is God in each of those scenarios? So look at Jesus, there he is, he's alone and he's hungry. And something flutters, and something else, large and brooding, flexes its feathers and waits for the hatching. Somewhere else a predator waits for the hatching too, because everything needs to eat. And for every kind of food there is a breaking. This is the very essence of Lent. This is the wilderness to which we will turn. In that wilderness kneels a man wrestling with the future of the world. In the wilderness, there is emptiness and doubt. Only days ago, or was it a lifetime, there had been a voice strong and clear and unequivocal. "This is my beloved," the voice had said, "in whom I am well pleased." And now another voice. "Is that true? If you are the Son of God, oh, turn these stones into bread. You don't have to be hungry. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple." It says right in the Bible, "God will carry you up, won't let anything bad happen to you." "What's the matter, Son of God? Don't you believe the Bible? Not as holy as you thought, eh?" "Look," the tempter says, "I'm in charge here. I'm the one to come to if you want anything. Just worship me together, you and I. We can do wonders. What do you say, Son of God?" Not so long ago, from the sky, eyes of doubt that descended. Clear for all to see now. From those same skies descend only questions and temptation and the smell of fear, and the only birds are the circling vultures wondering if there's going to be a meal for them in the near future. He's hungry, he's tempted to give in. He wants the certainty of a dove song when the only available sound is the squawk of self-doubt. And that's the way of the world. It happened to Jesus. What are we expecting for ourselves? It's, the world is, it's a paradox. The world is cruciform. The same wings that swoop to carry a falling chick, bearing a baby too soon fallen from the nest, those same wings will also swoop to terrorize and then capture prey. In the wilderness of Lent, we're asked to face the soft, exposed underbelly of life on this planet and to ask the question, the hard question, are we loved? Is there any meaning at all? Is there something, anything that is ultimate? And if there is a God, why do horrible things happen? If the Bible really is true, then why didn't the angels swoop down and save Kathleen's son, stay in the hand of his murderer? Why? And since life isn't fair, well then why don't we just milk it for all it's worth? Why not just get what we can, while we can, before we get out? Why not just dazzle the crowds for profit, take bread at any cost? Maybe it's all for nothing in the end. Maybe there is nothing, and we've been fooling ourselves, and we're as likely to have our heads beaten in as we are to be rescued by angels. Aren't angels supposed to swoop down and save you if you pray hard enough? So those are the questions, I say. What kind of God is this? Well, that's our main symbol, and that should give us a clue. And if there were easy answers, we could all go home right now. There are none. That's what the wilderness is about. There is only choice after choice after choice in the midst of temptations and confusion and human need, and in the midst of what is ultimately gut-wrenching beauty. Glory and pain, doves and vultures, hunger and the promise of cheap but costly bread. And there's the man kneeling in the desert making his choice. And there's you sitting there doing the same. For every kind of food there is a breakthrough. Turn this down, I'm going to cough. One more story. All my stories are from New Brunswick. Here's one. My friend Denise is an RCMP officer, and she's someone who likes order and justice and who wants to live right and help put things right. She's a good, good person, Denise. Denise got pregnant. Twin boys, Nathan and Lucas, she calls them, before they're born. At 7 months, Lucas stopped moving, and she gave birth to one live and one dead twin. And her world spun apart, and there was no way to make sense of a senseless death of a child. And nothing could console her, and she slipped into a wilderness that was truly frightening to witness. And one day, she finds a feather. And what that feather did for her was amazing. I can't explain it. But for her, that feather was a sign and a message, a love note from a God she had stopped calling out to, a whisper of hope in a terrible silent void. And for her, it was enough. It was a crust of bread in the wilderness. And feathers are now her symbol. At the worst times and years later, she still has times in the wilderness. In the darkest nights of her soul, she'll find one. And it'll do its work, and it'll remind her. And it'll bring her back to her deepest self and help her remember who she is and who God is. not someone who caused that bad thing to happen, not someone who caused her baby to die, not a God who could have saved him but chose not to, but a God who, though sometimes silent, walks with her and hurts with her and shares her doubts and her pain and her temptation to despair. Sometimes we don't get angels, but we get a feather. Sometimes we don't get a whole loaf, but we do get a crumb. And so this is a journey we're on. I'm not pretending that this sermon is answering any questions. We're raising questions that we're going to wrestle with all through this season. Lent is not for the faint of heart. This faith we live is full of questions, and the one we follow is not some superhero. But as we enter this journey and see how Jesus deals with these things, what is most important, how he centers himself and remains solid in who he is as a child of God, wrestles out what his mission will be, which will be ultimately to be compassionate and loving, whatever the cost. And the cost was heavy, heavy. As we walk with him through this time, my prayers for you is that you will find whatever feather might be yours, a sign when you're struggling most deeply, that you'll find your equivalent of a feather, and that you'll remember that God loves you beyond imagining, that life is bigger than we know, and that God has promised to be with us always. May God bless you as you think about it.